This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So be sure to pick up a nice, cool Pepsi to enjoy while you watch Giants football. And don't forget, check out madeforfootballwatching.com for the latest football watching content exclusively from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and welcome to Wednesday's show. It is Wednesday the 25th, the day before Thanksgiving. And on today's show, pleased to welcome in good friend Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. We're going to talk a little bit about the Giants coming out of the bye week. We're going to talk about the job Joe Judge has done and a few other things. So, Ed, welcome to the program as always, and happy Thanksgiving in advance.
And you too, Patty. Thanks for having me. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Before we start, what happened to the boring Giants?
Just when you thought it was all over, right?
What happened to a nice, boring bye week?
I don't know, man. I'll tell you. This story with Colombo, and actually, Ed, we might as well start there because, you know, I know I didn't write a whole lot about it other than to report the firing. I don't believe you wrote a whole lot about it, but the story took on legs of its own. I think the bigger picture, Ed, here, and tell me if you disagree, is not so much how Colombo was fired or what led up to it. It speaks to a bigger picture about Joe Judge as a leader. Would you agree?
I would, Patty, because the fact of the matter is, you know, Joe Judge, he's a very young head coach, but he has a very strong philosophy of how he wants things done. And that's okay. And it's, you know, there aren't a whole lot of coaches anymore who are, you know, this is the way things are going to be. This is the way I want them taught. This is how my program is going to run. And if you don't like it, you know, then you move along. I will say one thing. If you remember the 2 years of Pat Shurmur, I always thought Pat Shurmur was a good guy, a nice man. You know, I kind of enjoyed talking to him over the, you know, the couple of years that he was Giants head coach. But I always thought the biggest problem Pat Shurmur had as a head coach was that he didn't have a philosophy for how a team should run, how a team should be built. You would ask him questions and he would say, well, that's how NFL teams do things, or that's how offenses do things. That's just how things get done in this league. He didn't have a philosophy. He just sort of went along and coached every day. It's really, really obvious that Joe Judge has a philosophy and that he expects people to go along.
Indeed. And of course, at the core of that philosophy is team first. You know, we hear coaches say that all the time. I can remember Tom Coughlin saying it. And of course, he got it. I remember Ben McAdoo saying it. I can remember Shurmur saying it a couple of times. But really, at the end of the day, you know, I think back, Ed, to instances where, you know, especially with McAdoo, as I recall, where guys got preferential treatment based on, you know, practice situations for injuries and stuff. And just, you know, you go back and you look at the coaching styles, and I don't mean to dump on McAdoo all the time, but it's like night and day. It's like Judge shows no preference. It's like if you're injured, you're out there. If you can, working with the trainers, you're not sitting on the side, you know, dilly-dallying. And he shows no preference to any one player, regardless of how many years experience you are or if you have been a Pro Bowler.
No, he doesn't. And I think, you know, I thought it was very revealing the other day when we had a chance to talk to Leonard Williams. And he was asked about playing for Judge, and he was asked about Judge's philosophy. Now, Leonard Williams is a guy who's in his sixth year in the league. He's never been on a team that's made the playoffs. And he was asked, you know, what it's like playing for Joe Judge. And he said, you know, he said, it's great for players who want to win. And there was also an acknowledgement in some of what Leonard Williams said that some guys are out here for themselves. You know, he didn't say it in those exact words, but there was an acknowledgement that some guys are not team first guys. And, you know, and I thought that was interesting, that if you want to win, you know, Joe Judge's style is how you want to be coached.
Indeed. And, you know, just what I like about Judge, and one of many things I like about Judge, is if there's a mistake made or if something isn't working, he moves on. He doesn't, you know, hope that it works out or try to make it work out. He knows when to cut his losses. And that's very hard for people to admit that, you know, when they've made a mistake.
You know, I do have my concerns, Patty, about this whole shuffle with the offensive line. And yet you do give Judge credit. It's like, okay, there were solid reasons for hiring Mark Colombo. Mark Colombo, by all accounts, is a pretty good offensive line coach. You know, he's a guy that the players, you know, from all accounts, seem to get along with pretty well. But, you know, this is a first-year head coach, first time he's hired a staff. Not every hiring that you make is going to work out perfectly. And Judge didn't like the way things were going with this, and he moved on. And like I said, I have my concerns, but I give him credit, you know, for sticking to what he believes and for going forward with his vision. And I feel good about that, because I think it's been a while since the Giants have been coached by someone who really had a vision for where they wanted to go and how they wanted to get there.
Indeed, Ed. And since you've mentioned the offensive line, let's kind of transition or segue into that thing. You know, one of the questions that popped up, obviously, is with Colombo gone and Googs, and, you know, I'm still trying to master his name. It's funny. I could say it off the air, but when I get on the air, it's like a tongue twister for me. But so we'll call him Googs, because that was his nickname when he was here. His coaching style supposedly is different than Colombo's. I don't know to what degree or, you know, how it varies or whatnot, but I would think, you know, at the end of the day, and Judge, of course, was asked this yesterday, or I should say Monday, at the end of the day, it's all about still getting the hand placement, you know, making that first strike, taking a solid first step, establishing a base. So I guess what I'm asking you is, how much of a concern realistically should there be about the change in coaching philosophy and the effect on the young offensive line?
Well, we have seen this before, Patty. We've seen, you know, coaching changes, you know, in midseason, you know, position coach changes. Mark Colombo was involved in one a couple of years ago, you know, he got the Dallas job when Paul Alexander was fired, you know, midseason, and Colombo was elevated to that job. Now, you know, Mark had been there in Dallas, and you know, he was the assistant offensive line coach. So it happens. What I'm concerned about is, obviously, this is a really young offensive line. You still have a first-time center. You have three rookies playing a lot of snaps. Will Hernandez is a third-year guy who still would be considered a young player. And I'm concerned about disruption. But the flip side of that is, if Joe Judge was involving himself more over the last 3 or 4 weeks in the offensive line and in how these guys were taught and what they were doing. And I'm going to try this, Patty. Taguglielmo DeGuglielmo. I'm going to try. If his philosophy, if the way he teaches is more in line with the way that Joe wants it taught and more in line with what's been working for the last few weeks, then maybe this works. But, you know, but I'm concerned about disruption with the young group like that. There's no doubt in my, there's no doubt about it.
And by the way, very good. And I tip my hat to you for attempting that.
I've been practicing, Patty.
I have the DeGuglielmo. I think that's how it's pronounced, but still, it's a tongue twister. But I'm sure if I say it a few hundred times, and eventually it'll get into my mind. Anyway, so Ed, just one last point on the offensive line. You know, you mentioned that it's a young group, despite the fact that Will Hernandez is a young veteran. Really, Kevin Zeitler and Cameron Fleming, the only two seniors of the group. Reportedly, one of the things that Colombo and Judge had been at odds over was the rotation. The rotation, though, seems to be working, and that's actually something I applauded Judge for having, because what he's basically doing is he's making up for the off season or the lack of a preseason and off season by getting these guys the necessary experience, so that come next year when that offensive line rebuild, knock on wood, will be hopefully completed, Matt Parrott will have significant experience, Shane Lemieux will have significant experience, and they'll be able to hit the ground running. So, I mean, in that regard, I mean, do you think maybe too much was made of that whole rotation thing?
Well, I think that in hindsight, in retrospect, perhaps, I think that when we talked to Mark Colombo in the video conferences that we had, we really didn't get a hint from him that he wasn't fully on board with these rotations. He said he hadn't been involved in anything like that before, but I didn't have the impression that it was something that he wasn't in favor of. As it turns out, that turns out not to be the case. Turns out to be, he would rather not have seen that rotation. But I'm with you. It goes against convention. It goes against everything that I think you and I have ever heard from offensive linemen about how they need snaps together, about how they need all these repetitions because they need to know exactly what the guy next to them is going to do. So all of this rotation and swinging Matt Parrott in and out of games and once they get, Will Hernandez back fully healthy, rotating Shane Lemieux in and out, it goes against what we've always heard. But I give Judge credit for this because he knows he has young guys who he'll need not only this year, but he needs to have these guys ready to play down the road as this team develops. And I give him credit for insisting on that rotation. And, credit to Matt Parrott basically for making it work, because he's flopping back and forth side to side, doesn't seem to care, which side he's playing, doesn't seem to care how many snaps he plays. He just goes in and does a pretty good job every time he gets in there.
And by the way, I was kind of hoping to see him at left tackle and Andrew Thomas take some snaps at right tackle. I just thought that would be, I don't think we've seen that yet. So
we haven't seen that, Patty. I get asked about that all the time too. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care one way or the other, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't care one way or the other. Put Thomas at the left side and Pert at the right side, or vice versa, however you want to do it. I don't particularly care, and I know that Pert right now is on the COVID-19, reserve list. But, for me, for my money, and no offense to Cam Fleming, I just want to see both of the young guys play at this point. I think that both of the young guys are the future at the tackle positions. And I haven't seen anything from Matt Parrott that tells me that he doesn't deserve to start and play full time.
I'm totally with you on that, Ed. I say that just because they've tried every other combination. So I'm just surprised that they haven't tried that one. But, and for what it's worth, Andrew Thomas is the future at left tackle. Matt Parrott is the future at right tackle. And, you know, you got to believe that Shane Lemieux is probably going to replace Zeitler probably as soon as next year because of the salary cap hit that Zeitler has and the fact that they have this young talent waiting in the wing. So we'll see on that. You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. We're going to take a break and be right back after these messages. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness spikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL to take advantage of this very special offer. If protecting your family safely is your top priority, then you need to hear about Taser, whose people believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse, yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safe and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. And now you can own a Taser, the number one choice of law enforcement agencies, available without a permit in most U.S. states. And now when you enter the promo code NFL at Taser.com, you can get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light and save 15%. That's spelled Taser.com, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and I am joined by Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we are talking state of the Giants. Ed, let's turn our attention now to the games coming up. You know, the Giants are coming out of the bye week. They are, I believe, a half game out of first place in the NFC East, right? With a 3-7 record, right? If I had told you that at the start of the year, you probably would have asked me what I was smoking, I'm sure. Kind of give me an overview as to how you kind of see this rest of the season unfolding for the Giants. Do you think that they can maybe win half the games that they have left? I mean, especially looking around the league at their opponents and how some of their opponents are maybe having some struggles now.
Well, it's interesting. They've gone 3-2 over their last five games. I look at these last six games and they're not running the table. I mean, that's a pipe dream. That's nonsense. They're not going to win six straight games here. But I look at these last three games and when you looked at the schedule initially, and even when you looked at it, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said, all right, take the Seattle game off the board, take the Ravens game off the board, and maybe there's four winnable games, you know, out of the last six. And maybe you win two or three of those, and at 3-7, maybe you get to five wins or six wins. I can't look at the Seahawks and the Ravens right now and say that either one of those teams is unbeatable. I mean, the Seahawks are maybe starting to figure some things out on defense, but all season long they've had a terrible defense. The Ravens, you have lost, I think, 3 out of 4. So I can't look at any of the teams on the Giants' schedule and say that's an automatic loss. I think if the Giants, go, let's say they go 3-3 the rest of the way, I think you have to be happy with that, whether they win the NFC East or not. I think that if that happens, you look at the last 10, 11 games of the season. And, you know, John Mara had said at the beginning of the year that he wants to see progress. He wants to feel like this team's pointed in the right direction. My thinking is if you go three and say 3-3 the rest of the way, you could probably come out of the season feeling like, yeah, you're pointed in the right direction. You're making progress. You did well the last 2/3 of the season. And you feel like, you know, going forward, you finally started to move in the right direction here.
And to that end, Ed, I mean, a lot of people at the beginning of the year, media and fans, were basically hoping that Dave Gettleman would be shown the door. But if the Giants do manage to close out on a strong note, even if the record, you know, is under 500, even if they don't win the division, does Gettleman stay?
Well, it's interesting that you ask that, Patty, because if you read Big Blue View, I spent part of the bye week doing something that folks at Big Blue View had asked for quite a while. I actually did a 4-part series on Gettleman's work as Giants GM. We broke down the draft, we broke down trades, we broke down free agency, and then I did sort of, you know, pros and cons as to whether he stays and whether he goes. And we can all rehash every single move that Gettleman has made. There have been some really good ones. There have been some head scratchers. There have been some that we could argue about forever. You know, there's still people that want to rehash the, you know, whether drafting Saquon was the right move, whether trading Beckham was the right move. What I think it comes down to is this. And John Mara talked about this before the season started. He said that up to that point, he thought that Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman had worked very well together. You know, and every time you ask him about it, he's not going to rip the GM, but Judge says there's great synergy in the building. You know, he says that they seem to get along. They seem to be on the same page. And for me, Joe Judge is going to be here. He's going to be the Giants coach for the foreseeable future. I have no doubt about that. He's going to be the coach for several years at this point. For me, if ownership feels like the GM and the head coach are on the same page, if he feels like this GM can provide the head coach with the type of players that he wants, you know, that they have, they're not always going to agree. You know, no two people always agree. But if they can work together, if they're on the same page, if what they did this past offseason in free agency, and, you know, if Andrew Thomas works out, then the draft, you know, there's a lot of interesting players in this draft class. A lot of it's going to come down to how good Andrew Thomas is and what we see finally when, you know, what kind of player Xavier McKinney, who we haven't seen yet, turns into. But for me, if you feel like these two people work well together, then why would you mess with that?
I agree, Ed. And you know, just as we kind of say that the team that Gettleman first put together when he came here, it's changed. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize it, but I go back to when they signed all those former Cardinal players. And to me, that was a clear sign. And I said it back then, and I don't know if you agree or not, but you wonder how many of the free agent moves that are made are driven by the coaches banging the table for somebody versus how many, you know, Gettleman is saying, look, this is who I'm bringing in and I don't want to hear it. You know, we kind of talked about this. I know when Jerry was the GM here, how at times it looked like Jerry and Tom Coughlin weren't on the same page, but it just seems like, you know, Gettleman in getting the coaches, the types of players that they feel they need in order to be successful.
So Patty, you know, people get the impression sometimes that because Dave Gettleman is the GM, or back in the day when Jerry Reese was the GM, that the GM is dictating personnel moves. And I don't necessarily
think, you know, that's not the case. I don't want to say not necessarily. I want to say this. It's not the case. Gettleman always says that it's, you know, that it's a collaboration. And I believe that. Something else that Gettleman said, and I think he said this the day that Judge was introduced as Giants head coach. I think he said this when we were standing out in the hallway talking to Gettleman that day. And he said, you know, he said, in reality, he said, the front office is support staff for the coaches, which I think if you think about it, you have to know that a lot of those former Arizona Cardinals are guys that, given his choice, Dave Gettleman probably would not have signed. I mean, I go back to Gettleman signing Antoine Bethea a year ago as, you know, as the Giants' free safety. One of Gettleman's former draft choices and favorite players is Trey Boston, former Carolina Panthers safety, who also happened to be a free agent at the time that the Giants signed Antoine Bethea. You can't convince me that if Gettleman was dictating personnel to the coaching staff, there's no way he signs Antoine Bethea instead of Trey Boston. And that's just, you know, that's the example that always leaps to mind for me. So for me, it just comes down to what I said before. If Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman are on the same page, if they have the same vision, if they're able to come to decisions, you know, that both can live with, that both are in agreement with, you know, as far as, you know, which players to draft, which free agents to pursue. And Dave, you know, at 69, 70 years of age, if he wants to continue, then I just don't see a reason to change that.
And of course, I think that's not going to go over well with some people who have already made up their minds about Dave Gettleman. But I agree with you, Ed. I mean, you know, it's a different type of working relationship. And no, Gettleman hasn't been perfect. I think, you know, and I've kind of written this not as detailed as you have, but the biggest thing that I see Gettleman having fallen short on is that maybe he hasn't replaced some of the talent that has moved on, whether it be, you know, an Odell Beckham Jr. and now they don't have a number one receiver or a legitimate pass rusher. That to me is the biggest issue.
And I would agree.
And one that I think they're trying to fix, but you know, it's hit and miss. So and I think,
you know, I think the thing, you know, that you have to remember too, Patty, is going forward, when Pat Shurmur was hired, I think you could have said that what happens with personnel, what happens with the roster is going to be driven by the general manager. Going forward, Joe Judge is not going to make every personnel decision. Joe Judge is not going to, you know, pound the table and demand this player or that player and get everything that he wants. But the vision for the New York Giants is going to be driven by Joe Judge. It's not going to be driven by Dave Gettleman. It's not going to be driven by whoever the general manager is if the Giants decide to replace Dave Gettleman. It's going to be driven by Joe Judge. So whoever the general manager is going to have to be willing to try to deliver that vision. So, I mean, that's the way that I see it. I don't want to say it's not as important, you know, when we argue about who the general manager is, but it's going to be the vision of the head coach that is the most important thing, you know, going forward for this franchise.
Have you tried the all new and improved Built Bar? If not, you're missing out on one of the industry's healthiest and tastiest snack treats that's loaded with protein and low on sugar. With 18 different flavors, including nut and non-nut variety, you'll enjoy healthy snacks covered in 100% chocolate that's soft and easy to chew, and most importantly, great for the health conscious. Built Bars are great for folks on the keto diet and include protein and fiber nutrients you need without the exorbitant calories. And use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your next purchase. Visit BuiltBar.com to check out their amazing offering of flavors and put your customized box together. And don't forget, use the code LOCKEDON at checkout to save $10 off your order. That's BuiltBar.com.
Hey, New York Giant fans, this is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked On Giants podcast, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about my new book, The Big 50, New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This book is a comprehensive collection of stories and events highlighting some of the most memorable moments in the New York Giants franchise history, including unforgettable moments like the 4 Super Bowls, the Eli Manning trade, the greatest game ever played, the transformation of head coach Bill Parcells, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, and so many more. The book also takes you behind the scenes on some of the franchise's changing moments, such as the fumble, the passings of Willington Mara and Bob Tisch, the final farewell of the old Giants Stadium, and so much more. Featuring 50 chapters and over 300 pages of rich storytelling and detail, complete with loads of photos, this paperback will transport you back in time to the memories as they unfolded and give you a look behind the scenes at some of the men who made them happen. With a foreword written by former general manager Ernie Accorsi, the Big 50 New York Giants is a must-have for every New York Giants fan. So be sure to pick up your copy today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever else books are sold. And thank you for your support.